pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm really good.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah, it's been a great morning and it's been a great couple weeks, so.
It has been. Well, with one setback, one thing, which we are going to talk about today.
Okay, one thing.
One thing that wasn't so great. You know?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of those things if we like look for them.
Nope.
But I don't even know.
Just one.
Saying. Okay.
Just one thing.
Okay.
What are you looking for more bad things for?
I'm just saying it's easy. Like, I could list a whole bunch of bad things.
Okay, do that.
No, because I want to focus on the good things.
But we're not talking about good things today. We're talking about bad things today.
Oh, you're right. Like a fight.
Yes. So tell me everything I do wrong.
Okay, let me get a drink first. I'm just kidding.
Sure.
No, we had a little, what did we call it? Because it wasn't a fight.
It was a tiff, because you started it.
Oh, God. That's
so we'll
right.
We'll just call it a Tiffany. We had a little Tiffany.
It totally was me. And I had all these like emotions from the days before it had been leading up to this.
Yeah.
And I hadn't shared this with you like as intensely as I felt it. And so when we were at the grocery store getting donuts and you said, would you like me to get my own bag?
Well, okay. So you are addicted to Homer Simpson donuts.
Yes.
You love them.
I love the pink donut.
I usually care for a fritter.
You do.
But for some reason, it was the glazed donut that's shaped like a croissant, but is not a croissant. It's just a donut with a funny shape to it. And I grabbed one of those and went to stick them in the bag with your pink donuts.
Yeah.
And you kind of snapped at me about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want those in there. And I said, oh, I'll get my own bag. I didn't know we were sequestering donuts or some dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
And you, as I recall it, were basically, and I can't do word for word or verbatim because it's been a few minutes, but it was basically like, all you do is criticize me and make me feel small.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck
I know.
Just happened?
It was pretty wild.
Well, yeah. And you had a very serious tone.
Yeah.
You were not fucking around. And I immediately made another joke because I have three defense mechanisms. I either make fun of it or I snap back. You know, or I just shut the fuck down. I just internalize, shut everything off, but let's just get done what needs to get done. And I just kind of push forward. All three are not mature responses. What I should have said was, babe, what's up? What, you know, as opposed to just trying to make it funny again. And I try to make it funny again and... You let me have another round of what a shit I am.
Wait a minute.
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, because I feel I am all about owning when I fuck up, and I totally did, and my tone was wrong, but it was not a round with you. Like, I didn't, like, berate you and, like, belittle you in the store. I was snappy. I snapped back at you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you basically told me the same stuff the second time that you had already told me the first time in case I had not heard it. And I had heard it, and I was still trying to process it, and that's why I was trying to make you laugh. because it made me uncomfortable.
Mm.
And the quickest way to find comfort in discomfort is to laugh at it. I have found.
Yeah. I mean, I felt you get very defensive instantly as well as make a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The joke was a last ditch effort to try and head off my, I mean, I don't even know what to call it. I just fucking, my back went straight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fine, fuck it. Let's finish shopping and go home.
Yep.
And that's what we did.
And it was weird. I've never gone shopping with you when we have like these like emotions or something happening between us. It's not fun.
Well, something like this hasn't really happened between us.
I know.
I can think of maybe two times we've taken a tone with each other.
Yeah.
Before, you know, and those were over relatively quickly. And this one was just new and different.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my point of view is that the very first time you snapped me, I'm like, well, that's not fair. I didn't do fuck all. So I tried a little joke and that fell flat and you reiterated what had upset you. And my brain was like, I'm not doing any of that shit. And getting snappy with you is just so far from where I ever naturally want to be with you that I just shut the fuck up and roboted until I think we got out in the car.
I don't know. It felt so long. I mean, okay, we still, it's not like we stopped talking. So there was still was some conversation happening about we were buying.
You want Pop-Tarts? Pop-Tarts.
That felt very strange to me because it felt so fake and I that's not us.
No.
You know?
No, neither of us were behaving as our normal selves.
No.
I hope. That would suck.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, after 9 years it comes out.
That we're both dickheads?
Really douchebags.
So now again, this is my memory of it, and you can jump in with your memory of it, please.
Oh, I will.
Oh, okay. We got in the car, and I believe I tried to explain why I was being an asshole. I'm like, look, if you're just going to snap at me, here's what's going to happen. I'm either going to clam the fuck up, or I'm going to fight back, and I don't want to fight back. I am paraphrasing, because I doubt it was that eloquent. And then you began to explain to me what emotions you were under, what disappointments that you had earlier in the week, which I don't know how to talk about since we're not allowed to talk without permission.
Yeah, I...
We had a get together for some family.
Yeah.
And in your head, you had constructed, if I may, and I may be exaggerating a little bit, but a joyous celebration of getting together and having an activity and you know, yay!
Oh, yes. Like the music was lightly playing and we were laughing and yeah, that really did not happen.
No, you got awkward.
It got very awkward.
Now, while you were doing that, I was up here recording the shows. And so I didn't really get to see what happened. All I know is that I went down. A couple of things made me pretty happy. I did my best to be jovial, you know, and fun to be around, and then came up to do more work.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I try really hard not to have expectations on events. I mean, I have been a part when there are expectations set and it's like, you have to be, you know, we're going to go outside and we're going to build a snowman and the snow's going to lightly fall. And then we're going to go inside and we're going to have hot chocolate and we're going to sing carols. And it's like the expectation always is ruined for me. Like I just can't do it. So I went in saying like, I'm not going to have expectations and I still, yeah, it hurt. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because I just really wanted, I was just so excited to be together. And like, I've just been I've kind of been feeling a little homesick maybe, and I miss them, and I just wanted the most. I just wanted the very most of the time with them. So
I, just to divert for a sec, I had what ended up being not a great visit with my kids.
Not a great visit?
Yeah, because it was Sunday.
Mm.
You were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were here. And one of the kids brought their fresh significant other down for me to meet.
Ooh.
And I had a huge project due for school by 10 o'clock that night.
Damn.
It had to be submitted by 10 o'clock. And so what I would do is I'd do a portion of it, and I'd run downstairs, and I'd spend 10 minutes, and I'd run back up, and I'd do another chunk, and I'd run back downstairs. I felt awful because whatever expectations anybody held for that visit was ruined by my having procrastinated my homework till Sunday, which, by the way, I did today as well. I got a good chunk done yesterday and a good chunk done Friday, so I just have a bunch of typing to do today.
Mm.
Which, if I can get my internal dialogue machine to work, shouldn't be a problem. But what I also did was I front stacked today. We're doing our show first, then the comic book show, then the Left show. Then I'm doing a special episode of Tom and Jeff Roast Everything, which we have not done in about, I think, 4 years, maybe five.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
I am too. I mean, for those of you that listen, this is our buddy Tom from the Pacific Northwest, and we have been friends for more than a decade. We met through another friend when we were doing the Left show years ago, and just struck up a really casual friendship that's turned into something much bigger and stronger. But we finally met him for the first time last year.
Yeah.
He and his wife, I met his son, who I just think the world of. He's such a nice kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in his 20s. I shouldn't call him kid, but, you know.
He's a kid.
He is to me.
Yeah.
I tried to explain that once in an argument I had with a nephew of mine where I called him a kid, and he's like, I'm not a kid. And I'm like, dude, I used to watch you run around with your shitty diapers. He's like, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Everyone feels like a kid to me when you get to a certain age.
Yeah. People have felt like kids to me since I was in my 20s.
You've called me a kid before.
I have.
That's weird.
It is. I'm not saying it's not. It's just one of those habitual words that falls out of my head.
It just comes out when I call you dude or buddy.
Well, and when I call like one of my kids babe. You know, I have an affection for this person.
Uh-huh.
And that is a word I use on people that I have affection for. So it pops out and it's weird. So anyway, there we are. I, as the wounded target of your hasty anger, trying not to cry because you wounded me so deeply.
Good Lord.
Anyway, I'm just like, look, this is what happens when you do that. I end up being a dick, and I'm aware of it, and I didn't used to be aware of it. So that's growth. That's evolution a little bit, is that I used to be a little bitch and just pretend that it wasn't me. You know, everybody has a bad day. Everybody has something that's going to kick back from time to time with a little bit of negative response. And I know, much as you are my safe space, I am your safe space. And so if you're going to snap at somebody, it's probably best that it's me, because I'm going to, it might take me a few minutes, but I'm going to listen to what you have to say and do what I can to try and make everything better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, like I said, it's in the immediate, I don't usually handle myself very well. I have two really good emotions that I'm really practiced in. And one of them is anger. I'm really good at getting pissed. I can get pissed off nice and quick, you know?
So quick.
And that's not good. That's not healthy. It just happens to be something that I'm really good at. Every once in a while you have a talent that you don't care for.
I think I have seen you grow so much, like with not reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And because I feel like in the past, if I were to come and with an attitude or something, you're going to get so defensive and so angry at me instead of, you know, asking like what's going on or giving me the benefit of the doubt. But I feel like we do that more often now. Like we know that the other person has the best intentions and they're not intentionally trying to hurt us.
Right.
But I feel like you had those feelings in the beginning of our relationship.
I had a hair trigger. Yeah. I had been conditioned to brawl. You know, in a romantic relationship, everything was conflict before, you know, and that was 18 years of that.
Yeah, that was wild because I remember even just joking or saying something and it didn't come out with the right tone and you would be instantly defensive and angry. And it was, you know, but you don't do that anymore.
Well, except you were at the store the other day.
Except when I'm buying donuts.
It was weird. It was just so weird. It was the weirdest trigger of all time.
I felt, yeah, and it was because I felt so self-conscious and insecure about myself in that moment. Like I could have started crying.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, it wasn't my fault, but I'm still sorry.
Well, I appreciate you. And if this happens in the future, just asking me what's wrong or, you know.
No. It was a big growth and learning experience, you know. You did something you don't normally do. And I handled it in a way that I used to handle things or not handle things, whatever you want to put it. So yeah, as weird as it was and as startled as I was, I also felt bad.
Yeah, I did too.
And I don't know how to process that very well. That's something else I'm still working on is when I'm, you know, like, I don't know. Like I didn't, it's like, okay, is the responsibility for the tiff mine?
No,
not particularly. No. Could I have handled it in a different way that would have ended it much, much sooner and easier? Yeah, absolutely I could. But I was startled and, you know, prey when it's startled. Sometimes reacts in unpredictable ways.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So today we got a couple of articles that we're going to read through on getting over fights.
Yeah, because this question came up because we're like, what do we do now? I guess we haven't had very many fights where we've learned how to come back from them. Like what we do after a fight. Because we laid in bed, we talked it out. And then what?
Yeah.
We didn't know what to do.
No. And the truth is, I don't think there was much more to do. But psychologists say that there is something to do. When you fuck up, try doing it again, but do it better. So the article calls it a love mulligan. If you golf, you know what that means. It means you get a do-over. So you take the mistake, you take the opportunity of the mistake and you shoot again. And it does work well, I think, in couples where something happens, a bad reaction is applied to the situation, and both people just need to take a big fat deep breath, take a step back and say, hey, is there a reason why you're slagging on me? Because all I did was make a very funny joke about a donut. I mean, it wasn't even a joke. You just said something about apple fritters. And I was like, I didn't get an apple fritter. It's very mature of me.
I just didn't want the apple fritter in the bag with my donut. So I was trying to put the tissue in between the donuts so you could put yours on top of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it would not work. I could not get it to lay across my donut and whatever. I just lost it. You're teasing me.
It was a, it was a, a conflict between you and the wax paper.
Yes.
That manifested as a conflict between you and I. No. It's small frustrations can be the trigger.
Yeah.
I know that it's little shit that sets me off when it's just me being mad at me. You know, I forgot a word today when I was trying to write a thing for school. Just one word. And the dialogue in my head was fucking poison.
Damn.
The inside of my head is a dark and dangerous place, and I don't much care for it. I got to be honest. There's a lot of scar tissue up there that tries its best to assert some dominance into my life and make me think things. It's why at night I listen to podcasts to fall asleep, because if there's voices, the voices in my head are quiet. Mm. And if it's quiet, then the voices in my head are like, oh, some room to speak. And it's never got anything nice to say.
No.
You know, it's very frustrating.
It is.
It's. I know that it's me, and it's a me that I don't care for. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I don't care for myself very much most of the time.
Oh, babe, that makes me sad.
Well, it just makes me and part of that is it makes me, you know, react to situations in ways that I am. How to explain it? I'm used to it because it is a constant litany, you know? I don't know. So anyway, when we struggle to find the right words, we often forget that words aren't everything. Silence and loving touch can speak volumes. Don't over rely on words. Well, that's difficult. When you long to feel close, to come back together, try a deep connected hug and breathe in and out together. Hold hands. Look into each other's eyes.
We do this. We hold hands.
Yeah.
When we're fighting or whatever we call it.
This can activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which will help you calm down, feel safe, and reestablish closeness. And you don't even have to say anything. But, and this one's fun. One of the best ways to quickly change your mood is to change your physical body. That's why when my husband or I have a tiff, notice that they've named that after the nickname of yours that you don't care for.
No.
Let's call it a conflict. Or one of us is in a bad mood, we try and challenge each other to shake your ass.
I was given the advice so many years ago that when you're in an argument or a fight with your significant other, then you should just get naked because it's very hard to fight without clothes on. And I agree. But at the time when I am in that space, no way in hell am I going to take my clothes off.
No.
No way.
No.
It's like too vulnerable. And I feel like this is the same for me. I couldn't do this.
So I like the idea of this. Stand up and shake your booty.
Yeah, I can't.
Then quickly check in with your heart, your mind, and your emotions. Notice how you feel. Couples report they feel lighthearted, playful, and able to laugh at themselves, all of which are fantastic antidotes to irritation, sadness, or disconnect. So that could be a rule. We could try and institute a rule where if we're having a fight, before you're allowed to speak, you have to do 10 seconds of shaking your ass.
No.
And by the time you get to the second or third exchange, you should be laughing your ass off.
The thing with me, though, when I am having feelings, I have to express them. I have to, like, get them out and share them with you. Once I can get them out, I can move on. I'm good. I'm fine. But if I can't, if I just have to, like, pretend they're not there and just gloss over it, it just eats me and it just stays there forever. I cannot get rid of the feeling.
See, and I don't think this is a way of burying emotion as much as it is lightening the mood so you can talk about emotion.
Yeah.
Which is why I always make jokes when I'm uncomfortable. Because if people laugh, you know, it's way easier. I mean, I'm bad at a funeral. especially if I cared about somebody that is the central focus of said funeral, because I can't not make jokes.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean the story I tell the most often, so Left Show listeners, sorry, here we go. It's been years, so suck it up. We were at my grandmother's funeral on my dad's side in the late 80s, and the chapel was packed. They had undone both of the partitions, and chairs were all the way back to the stage in the gymnasium, you know, which connects to the chapel. It's, if you're not a Mormon, this isn't going to make a lot of sense.
I was going to say, any Mormon knows exactly what they can see it in their head.
Yep. But basically all the overflow was open. This was a very crowded funeral. Now, I was sat with my little brother and a couple of my cousins, and we were toward the back of the chapel because we were children, and sit down, shut up. No, there's no reason for you to sit with the family up front at that particular one. It was my aunt.
You didn't sit with your family?
Well, I sat with my cousins, younger cousins.
Okay, that's so odd you didn't sit up in front.
It is weird. She's great now. Everybody tempers in their old age, it seems. But, yeah. You know, at the time, she's Canadian, and I'm pretty sure they kicked her out of Canadian for being too American.
She wasn't nice enough.
Nope, not at all. So we're all sitting there, and the brothers and sisters, who are all still alive at the time, my uncle, my two aunts, and my father were on stage, up behind the pulpit. And somebody was giving a prayer, and the prayer finished, and like 300 noses all at the same time went,
no.
And I laughed. Out loud. I did one of those bark laughs I do, and I'm like, ha ha.
I can hear it.
And my dad knew exactly who it was. And I see all four of aunts and uncles just shooting me daggers. And that starts cracking me up even more, which sets off my cousin and my little brother and my other cousin. And we're all just kind of sitting there trying really hard not to laugh. And my dad kind of puts two and two together, realizes what set me off, and then he starts to giggle. And he and I made eye contact during that. And immediately, any annoyance or upset I had caused, and at that particular, I was 16, I believe.
Good Lord, you were 16?
Yeah.
And you weren't allowed to sit with your family?
No.
I thought you were like, I was picturing that you were like 5 or 6.
The only reason that I know that I had to have been at least 16 was because I owned a motorcycle and I had driven it over to show my grandparents.
My God. Wow.
And she died that year and grandpa died the next year.
Hmm.
I am certain of a broken heart because they were together quite a long time, 60 some odd years. And I mean, Dad and I were able to take the moment, recognize the moment, and step away from me being a little mortified, him being a little annoyed, to, you know what, that was a funny noise. And the truth is that Grandma would have enjoyed some laughter at her funeral. You know?
Yeah.
She absolutely would have appreciated it. She would have known exactly why I was laughing, and she probably would have laughed herself. She's a sweet lady. The world is diminished by her passing.
Hmm.
And has been since, I think, 1988. So, anyway, shake your booty. Give it a wiggle. Try something new and different. I don't, I'm with you. I don't even like being naked when it's time to be naked.
Okay.
Well, I don't. So, you know, so you're not going to get me to strip down for an argument.
Do it anyway.
Well, I will, yes. The payoff is enormous. It's wonderful.
Oh, gosh. But,
yeah, so, I mean, that's just what it is. So, 5 practical psychology-based tips for how to make up after an argument. Everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Harm reduction with time and space. If an argument doesn't seem productive and starts to get messy, you might be better off taking a time out. Can you give each other some cooling off space and return to it later? This action in itself can reduce harm caused by an argument.
I feel like we do this. Like if we, if I'm getting like a little frustrated or I feel like my feelings have been hurt, and we take a step back from each other, if we're in different rooms, and then we text, sometimes that's much easier for me to be in a different room and text you.
Yeah.
Than just to sit and talk to you like in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, this one says, listening to each other in this state can be challenging and you're more likely to lash out. It can be a total waste of time trying to resolve problems when you're in the middle of a fight. However, don't just give your partner the silent treatment. Oops. This can be infuriating and frustrating for the other person. Instead, let them know you'd like to take a time out and calm the fuck down so that you can both come back later and talk more productively.
Do you like the silent treatment?
No. No, I do not.
Giving it, I mean?
Oh, I hate it. Oh. I fucking hate it, but I do it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I do it. I definitely will do the silent treatment.
Yep. Yep. I do not like it. It makes me feel dirty. Offer an olive branch. Once you've cooled down, you can start to think about making up. At some point, somebody needs to offer an olive branch. I would like to think that when we had our little thing the other day, it may not have been an olive branch, but I really, really tried as soon as I could possibly do it without being a complete asshole to explain what happened to me in regard to what we were going through. When we got out to the car, I'm like, look, this is how I feel, and this is why I'm behaving like this. I don't know if that helped or not with you, but I know it helped with me to be able to say out loud what the fuck mm-hmm. was going on.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know that it did, because it almost felt like it was flipping, like I was hurt and I was upset, but then it was like, we were made it about you. Like it switched and now we were talking about you. So it took us a while to like work through that, how you were feeling and how you reacted, and then get to why I was feeling the way I did.
Well, I was trying to apologize for how I reacted.
Yeah.
But apparently I made it all about me.
No, I'm just saying, like in that moment, that's really how it felt to me.
Well, shit. I'm sorry.
No, that's why we talk about it. And, you know.
So here's some olive branch ideas, he said, moving away from what an asshole he is. A simple heartfelt message. Send a text. Said, I don't like this. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
You're important to me.
You're good at that.
A small symbolic gift. This for me is usually offering to make you food.
Oh, you're bringing me a Pop-Tart?
Yep. Shared memory reminder. Bring up something, a happy moment that you've shared together. Hey, remember that time we did the thing? I like that feeling. Let's do that.
Let's do that instead.
Number four, gentle humor. No, absolutely not.
we use humor a lot. Like,
yeah, but I didn't even get an apple fritter.
I didn't know.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying is that was the joke that I made because I was trying light humor and it did not work.
It didn't.
It backfired spectacularly. Well, not really. It just backfired.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. We don't do spectaculars when it comes to fighting. Nobody could probably tell that I was pissed and that you were. I mean, your eyes were a little.
Oh my God. Moist. No, my eyes. Oh, because I was crying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or trying not to.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Cook or order their favorite meal. Cook. Is how we do things now because we can't afford to order out. But I have ordered you things that I think that you will like.
Yeah.
Or I have offered that we should do that to try and cheer you up. You know, that one works. A sincere compliment. That one's weird.
That one's hard, yeah.
Acknowledge something you truly appreciate them, separate from the disagreement. That one's weird. I don't. What do you do? What do you talk about? Hey, you were an insensitive jerk. Hey, you didn't handle that very well. Hey, you've got a spectacular ass.
Well, thank you.
I'd throw that out there real quick, just so you know. And according to the previous article, you're supposed to be shaking it, and I have not yet seen a shake. And now we are having two arguments. Offer a hug or physical gesture of care. We do that.
We do that now.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that one's always good.
That one's a hard one, though. Like, I remember in the beginning, that was not a natural thing for us. Like,
no,
we did not know what to do, I guess. I don't know. But we talked about it, and now we know. Like, we just go and give the other person a hug.
Yeah. Create space for them. Sometimes an olive branch is simply saying, I'm here when you're ready to talk. I need that sometimes.
You need me to do that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like, I need to calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to do that if we keep talking about this. But again, as we are together longer, I need that less and less.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Do something kind without words. Run an errand, make a coffee, or handle a small task.
Okay.
Nothing?
My mind went elsewhere.
Where did it? Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
But that's like arguing naked. Sometimes it's hard to get in the mood.
No.
Yeah. Invite connection. Suggest a walk, a cup of tea, or some other low pressure activity where conversation can flow naturally.
I don't think we'd ever do this. I don't think we'd get in a heated discussion and then say, let's take a walk.
Let's take it to the sidewalk. Yeah, that one doesn't work. Talking after an argument. Don't brush things under the rug and ignore the fact that you've had an argument. It's essential to communicate after an argument. Taking responsibility and accountability for our parts in an argument is vital to damage repair. Some people like to talk about it right away. Another approach is to make a date about it in the next 24 hours. This way you're both ready and willing to have set aside some time where you won't be distracted by children or phone calls. You can communicate your emotions more effectively so that the other person can listen easily to what you want to say.
Yeah, then you can have time to like think of your comebacks and all your reasons.
That sounds unhealthy. Is that what you do?
If we made a date, a time and a date to talk about it, hell yeah, I would. I'd think of all the things that you could say to me and then all my responses back. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess I'm more improv.
You are.
I guess because I don't do that.
I overthink.
That's fair. Finding the root cause of the problem. Most of our arguments are recurrent. Finding the root cause of the problem can reduce the frequency and severity of arguments in the future. Was the argument really about washing up, or is it something your partner did or didn't do that's got you upset already? And this was the trigger.
Yep.
I don't think this one applies to this particular argument we had, but I am sure that it applies to our day-to-day life for both of us about the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, action plan. Make an action plan. After an argument, it can be good to create an action plan. What did you both learn from the argument? Subsequent timeout. Reconciliation conversation. What would you like to do differently? How might you resolve the problem in the future if it's a recurrent issue? And what processes can you implement for the next time this issue triggers for either of you? I think this is what we do.
Yeah.
Because we're like, okay, this just happened. How about we try doing this instead? It's not that we follow through, but I do think that we try and plan.
I think so.
Yep. I do.
We still haven't figured out angry sex. Sex after an argument.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
makeup,
not our thing.
You're not into makeup sex?
I can't do it. No.
Huh.
It's hard for me. If I'm feeling... If I'm having feelings.
It is what she said. She literally just said it. You heard her. It's recorded. Rewind. Hit the 10-second button. It's right there. She said.
Oh, God. Anyway. Well, I do feel like we become closer and stronger when we have these little tiffs, whatever.
Look at it this way. A tiff is a small argument or equivocation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in England, a trump is a fart. So your name could be associated with something worse.
That's true.
Yeah. Whereas to be a Jeff is to be beige and bland and have your parents have no originality or creativity when it comes to naming children. They just looked at this squashy pile of crying white dough and went, Jeff. He'll work in advertising. Yeah, I am never going to forgive my parents for that name. I do not like my name. I don't like it at all. At all.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Like you said, I made it to the second grade before I'd start responding to my name instead of only answering to Batman.
I love Batman. I've always loved, I don't know that I've loved my name, but I've never like disliked my name, any of my names. So there that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like my name. And the problem with it is that when asked, what would you change it to? I have no fucking idea.
I asked you this before and yep. You have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just want something different. Probably Celtic or Viking.
Of course.
Yeah. We can do that. Well, look, here's the deal, gang. Everybody argues. Everybody argues. I know, and I know she doesn't listen, and even if she did, she wouldn't make it this far into the show. But like the only couple I know that apparently, quote, air quotes, don't fight is my sister and my brother-in-law. But I'll bet they tiff.
Yeah.
Because everybody does.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. My sister is adorable and my brother-in-law is without a doubt, hands down, just one of the nicest guys on this fucking planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that they don't get knocked down dragouts. I cannot picture fights I used to have with my ex, them having those kind of fights, you know, 2, 3, 4 in the morning and just lighten each other up.
Well, that's nuts.
To my kids, if they're listening, I'm really sorry about that. That was way out of line and I never should have done it. And when you talk to your therapist about it, I hope that you know that I really wasn't having a good time in the moment either. It sucked. And I apologize. I'm sorry, kids. I'm doing better now that we don't live together. So, you know, it's all growth. Anyway, let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll do a letter and then we'll call it a show and go do some Patreon. How's that sound?
Awesome.
All right.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You abandoned me for what, 5 days?
It was
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Five
full days, yeah.
Yeah. You abandoned me. You left me to my own devices.
You had the whole house to yourself.
It was weird. Yeah, it's happened before, but I usually had a job to go to in which I could talk to people.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, this was just me at the house looking for work and doing homework.
Wow.
Yeah, it was...
That's hard for you.
It was, yeah. I am a social creature. Much as I like to pretend that I'm not, I am. You know, even if it's just talking to the mailman. But the mailman doesn't come to our door.
Nope.
Nope.
We're pretty isolated.
We are very isolated. And most of me digs it, you know, but it was just like, well, what do? Do I invite somebody down to where I don't have any money to entertain them? No. You know, but I did get it. Like I said, I did get a visit from my kids.
Oh, that's good.
That was nice. That was nice. And of course, you know, I had been job hunting more than homework, which is how it always is. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be honest, and had left the homework until Sunday because Sunday's a shit day to look for work. It just is. So anyway, while I was doing that, you were visiting family in Arizona with your mother.
Yeah, I went with my mom. We went down to Phoenix where a bunch of my family lives and we had the best time. She bought a new car. So that was exciting. It's a Palisade, a hybrid. And so we drove down in that, super comfy, luxurious. But the awesome thing on the way back is that I got to stop in St. George and see your dad.
Which is hard to do.
We don't get down there very often, no.
Part of it is there's nowhere to stay at dad's house for various reasons. And we can get into that at some other time. They're annoying and hurtful, and it's got nothing to do with my dad, so I usually just keep my yap shut. And the second thing is that for some fucking reason or another, it's expensive as hell to get a motel room in St. George.
Oh, it is.
And it's like $200 a night, which even when we were both working, we just did not have. The one time we went down for an extended visit, we ended up staying in fucking Mesquite. Because it was cheaper to drive into Nevada through Arizona to get a room at, where were we? Casablanca?
Oh, yeah.
It was $29 a night.
Yeah.
Now, there's not fuck all in the room, but that didn't matter because we were driving to St. George. And it was cheaper. Gas and hotel added together. It was 60, 70% cheaper than just trying to stay in St. George.
Yeah. St. George is so pricey now.
It's nuts. It's a boring fucking town. I don't understand why everybody just is like, oh yeah, it's worth $200 to stay in this sleepy Mormon weird ass MAGA fucking town.
It is a bizarre town.
And it just keeps getting bigger.
Yep.
And the bigger it gets, the more expensive it is. And it's like, all you're doing is putting houses on the pretty shit that people wanted to come down and see in the first fucking place. So anyway, it's hard to visit my dad.
But it was so nice, and he was just wonderful and just the cutest.
He turns 90 on his next birthday.
What?
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, he's old.
He's so sweet.
And he's about half as tall as he used to be. He used to be 5'10", now he's about 5'4".
He's very little.
He's very little.
The thing that when we were talking about fights and whatever relationships that I just love about your dad is how he talks about Dolly and that relationship that he had with her.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Dolly was my stepmother. My dad, after my folks split, I moved in with my dad and we moved down to Utah County and we were in American Fork and dad used to go to singles dances at the USO auditorium. You know, everything sounds like the 50s with him. I mean, that's how it is. And he met her, and I am told that he danced. I have never seen it. I have never seen it.
They didn't dance at their wedding.
If they did, I have no recollection of it. And that's probably because I was on a sugar high from eating all those wedding mints.
You were, the pictures of that wedding. Okay, so the cutest thing, I'm sitting in the room with your dad and he's like, oh, look at these pictures. I had printed a bunch of pictures of our family to bring to him so he could have them. And so when I gave him the pictures, he gave me pictures to look at of him and Dolly's wedding.
Yeah.
And you were scattered in these pictures like, in the funniest, craziest ways. Like, I knew you had to been full of energy at their wedding because you're like doing faces over your dad's shoulder, or you're popping in a picture of them trying to cut their cake. Just made me laugh. Like, you were everywhere.
Look, I it's hard to talk about. My mother and I have a very different relationship now than we had back then. You know, back then the divorce was fresh. She made me get rid of my dog. She didn't like me very much. And I was, we know now that I would have been diagnosed as ADHD and most likely touching the spectrum heavily. And so I was a handful, you know, I was just a ball of crazed energy most of the time. And I lived emotionally, and that was what I responded to. So me having to get rid of the dog I'd wanted my whole life and could only have after they got divorced, was just like the final straw of dealing with a parent that, while I knew that I was loved, I also knew that I was not liked.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it, I mean, it is what it is. We get along great now, you know, for the most part. Everything's copacetic. But at that time, Dolly was just a bundle of positive emotion. She was sweet and she was kind, and it was a different relationship than I had had with a parental figure before. You know, even Dad and I were fun together, you know, but it, you know, there's been years where there's a lack of depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mostly on my part, because I don't want to tell Dad what I've been up to. But, you know, when I would go through, when bad things, like the time I got mugged, mm-hmm. in Colorado, Dad was my first call after the cops.
Mm-hmm.
When I broke my neck, Dad was my first call as soon as I could get to a phone. You know, and part of the reason for that is the relationship that Dad and I put together after he married Dolly was a lot more healthy than what we had previous to that, which was buddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was. And so Dolly was just the best. And I get it. He misses her every day. When we talk and he gets maudlin, you know, and gets a little dark and lets his depression take over, all he talks about is how much he wants to be with her again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with his religion, he gets to.
I just love that he talks with her. He talks about her with such affection still,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of who's in the house. And you can hear him. It's like that Dolly is the love of his life. And it just makes me smile. And I thought how awesome it is that at this age, he'd be so excited to show me pictures of their wedding. And I thought about like showing pictures of our wedding at that age too, that I would be just as excited.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope I'm around for it.
Me too.
I don't think I will, cause I'm older than you, but
you are
quite a bit. No, I never ever want to be in the position that Dad's in, missing you. I'm so sorry, but I hope I die first.
I hope I die first.
See? That's healthy.
Because I don't want to live without you either.
Aw. But you can tell all the fun stories about me. It'll give you something to do.
Jed would hate this, but I'll tell you this story.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you better die first. You'll cough up all the secrets.
I know. Your kids will know so much about you.
They already do, because the little shits listen to the Left Show. I found out that when we would record, I would send the kids upstairs and shut the office door, which didn't really help much because it was only half sheetrocked and the mm-hmm. bottom half wasn't, and you could hear it pretty well. Kyla used to, when we would shut the door, sneak into the room outside my office and just sit and listen. And for those of you that have listened to The Left Show, you know I really don't have a filter. I just admit what's up and we move on, and I tell stories because they crack me up.
Mm-hmm.
And there are stories that your children should never, ever know about you, and my kids know most of those. And it's my own damn fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all
so
I'm saying.
Funny.
So they already know enough. I mean, there's some stuff I don't ever want them to know.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So anyway, we've got a letter. And it's a letter about an argument to tie into today's theme. The letter is entitled, Am I Being Selfish? I, 45-year-old male, and my wife, 39-year-old female. Tonight we went out to her friend's surprise party. On the way home, she was hungry and wanted to get food. I said, well, what do you want? And she says, empanadas. I said, cool, no problem. We'll stop. We'll get you some empanadas, but I'm going to eat something at home. All hell broke loose. And she started yelling at me saying, you're being so selfish. Why can't you just eat what I'm eating? I said, I'll stop and get you whatever you want, but I don't want to eat that. I'm not sure what I want to eat, but I'm definitely not in the mood for empanadas. She was literally yelling at me for not wanting to eat the same thing as her, telling me you're a selfish husband and you're being difficult. Why can't you just eat what I want? I said, we don't have to eat the same thing. And she said, well, I want to eat with you. Why can't you just have the same thing as me? I said, I'll go there and get you food, but I'm not going to eat there. In any event, she said, forget it, and yelled at me the entire way home that I'm selfish and only think about myself because I wouldn't eat at the empanada place, which was takeout only, so I had no problem stopping. I just didn't want any. I could have got something else. Like, who gives a shit? Is this me being selfish or am I missing something?
Wow.
I'd say she had a drink or two at the party. Yeah. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love empanadas, but they're deep fried, and so they're very heavy. And I don't eat them very often because as much as I enjoy them, they upset my stomach. Because as I get older, I can eat less fried food. So if we were in this situation where you wanted empanadas and I didn't, I'm like, well, let's go get you some. I'll grab something at home. You know, or something else along the way. It used to be that I would do whatever you wanted as far as food goes. If you said, I want blah, I'd be like, cool, well, that's what we're having. And then one day I remember this pretty clearly. We were talking about ordering food. This is 6 or 7 years ago. And you wanted something. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I can eat that. And you said, you don't want it? And I'm like, no, I don't. You said, well, you can order something else. DoorDash will do that. And I went, oh, okay. Well, let's do that then.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument was over. On this one, she's mad about something else.
Yeah. This is the pink donut.
Yeah. This triggered her. My guess is you guys haven't been spending enough time together, or if you have, it hasn't been quality couple time. It might be parent time, and those are not the same thing. We've talked about that before on the show. You know, you can spend time together co-parenting, and that's not couples time. You can go on vacation with your kids, and that is not a vacation.
No, no, God, no.
No. No, I mean, that's just really what it comes down to. So on this one, do I think you're being selfish? Absolutely not. I really don't. Do I think you should have got an empanada anyway and then just put it in the fridge when you got home? Yes. That may not be the healthiest way to stop an argument, but you can go get a fucking empanada and say, okay, what are you really mad about?
Mm-hmm.
Which is also very dangerous. But as we've talked about today, quite important. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. That's what I've got set aside for today's show. You got anything you want to add, babe?
Ask questions. Be curious. Don't judge. Don't jump to conclusions. I think that's my big takeaway from today.
Be curious, not judgmental. Mm-hmm. It's a Walt Whitman quote, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Okay. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to go over to Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/defendmedia, where every week that we record, we do some special content there for our Patreon family.
So fun.
It is fun.
You don't want to miss it.
Yep. That's where we do all the swear words and tell secrets.
All the secrets.
You may be wondering, what secrets do we have that we don't share on the regular show? This is your way to find out.
There's actually a lot we don't share.
Yep. But yeah, patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Everything you want and a little more available for you at patreon.com.
Just for you.
Just for you. Well, thanks for recording with me, babe.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
Could be a long day.
Yeah, it is. Your voice is going to go.
I got throat coat tea.
Throat coat tea.
Yep.
I need some throat coat tea.
Coat, not goat.
Oh, I said coat.
Didn't oh, okay.
I thought I.
No, I'm just teasing you. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Babe, I love you.
Love you.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.